want you to know that there are many things as a pastor we go through life that we are not even sure how that thing works. And I thought that Zachary mentioned about she had this miraculous provision that she was not even aware how, or even she can't even understand or how to explain. She doesn't even know how it came about. And I thought in life there are many times it happened this way. Even from the technology, from the technical point of view, there are things that you and I know is just merely the buttons to press. But the mechanism and all the technical, the complexities are not something that I can explain or even any one of you can explain. Probably the designer can do that. The one who came out with the chips, the one who came out with all the complexities in our layman understanding. But a lot of time we do not know how. And even it comes to the farm, and a farmer were to go about sowing seed. You and I do not know how that the sun and the water could actually cause the seed to sprout and to grow. We do not know how, but we do know the whole entire principles. But we do not know the details. My message today is about the parable of this growing seed. And the title of the message is, I do not know how it works. I really do not know how it works. And I want to read from Mark chapter 4, in verse 26 to verse 29. If you have this passage in your Bible, it will be great. If not, read along with us and see from the slide. As I read from the NIV, it says this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So the Lord was about to introduce the parable by describing to us that the parable is related to the kingdom of God. We live in God's kingdom. We don't only live here on earth, but we live in God's kingdom. And he says this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Though he does not know how. Verse 28. All by itself, the soil produces grain. Everybody say the word, soil produces grain. Turn to your partner beside you and say, soil produces grain. And he says, first the stalk, then the head, then the full canal in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. I remember Christ said these words in John chapter 3, verse 8. He says, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You see, friend, this entire parable is only found in the book of Mark. It's never found in any other gospel. You will never see that in any other gospel. There's something unique about this in Mark's gospel. And it has a lot of earthly meaning inside this gospel. First and foremost, it shows us that we have the sower, we have the seed, and we have the soil. We have them. But this earthly parable described to us that we are all casting live seeds. We are all casting live seeds. Our words, our actions, our look, the way we do things, the way we approach things. Somehow, it has a certain seed in them that is planted into different lives. It just happens. Some of those actions affected the lives of those people. We do not know how it works inside the person who receives it, who hears it. Even today as I speak to you, the capacity of your openness in perceiving the truth depends on the capacity of how you see and understand. Not everybody in this church would ever understand if their hearts are not open. But yet we have the sower, we have the seed, we have the soil. And the farmer sowed and scattered the seeds. And the parable tells me it struck a root and then it grew. It ramified. It began to branch out branches or little stems. And then it fructified. It begins to bear fruits. Somehow it took place in which you and I do not understand. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know one thing. God is revealing the order of things. Are you with me? The Bible says the man sows the seed on the ground. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. But there is an order. It is not when, it's about what he wants it to happen. God sets an order. There is an order to the growth. Are you with me today? There is an order to the growth. I remember when we were young, our parents would tell us, you cannot go out until you finish your food. Am I right or not? You cannot go out until you finish your food. Or some of you, perhaps, your mom says, you cannot go out until you clean your room. There is an order that we need to follow through. Brothers and sisters, here is the order. You can't spend before you have your salary. You can't be spending before you tie to the Church of Jesus Christ. You can't have sex before your marriage. Am I right or not? There is an order that we must follow through. You can't go about and have the competition without being trained. You can't have a holiday by still having your negative debts. You can't have success without your character. There is an order. So don't mess up the order. Don't mess up the order, because somehow in the midst of messing up your order, there will be difficult issues in life that you will encounter. You set the whole thing at the wrong order. Nobody plucked the fruit before it is ripe. Somebody say amen. There is an order we must follow. I pray today that as much as you do not know how it works, but you have an order to work on. Your faith and my faith must be synchronized with the order of God. You can't be saying, I have faith in God, and constantly violates and break the order of God. It doesn't work like that. Your faith must synchronize with the order that God sets for all of us. You see, Israel can never get into the promised land until they follow through step by step. And one of the very first steps was to cross the river Jordan. The next thing they need to do was to break Jericho. You can never get into the promised land until you work through around Jericho, and after Jericho, Ai, and after Ai, you have to meet the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. We need to follow the order of God. And this is what happened with the parable. The parable began with a seed. Can you see that from behind? There is a seed. The parable is so crucial as he began to describe that there is a seed, and the seed was taken and to be planted in the ground. And when it is planted in the ground, something began to happen. Look at the seed today. The seed, from its outward appearance, does not seem to have the potential to grow. Am I right? It doesn't look nice. It doesn't look good. This seed is just like any one of us. It looks insignificant. It looks from afar invisible. It looks as though this seed is completely ignorant. There is nothing special about the seed if you just look at it from the outward appearance. Am I right or not? And this symbolizes your life and my life. It doesn't symbolize any importance at all. But God began to tell us that this seed not only could be your life, but it also could be your words. Words that you say to somebody. It may not appear significant, but it has a certain impact on somebody's lives. It may not appear fantastic. It's just normal. It's just a seed. But the Lord is stressing something. If you look very carefully, the seed was planted onto the ground. But the Lord is showing us there is a divine power in that seed. Are you with me? There is something powerful in this seed. I want you to realize many of us are constantly looking at this insignificant seed that doesn't mean much. It may not have any sense to you, but God has something within you. It doesn't make sense at all. It's just like the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense. Isn't it true? The world cannot comprehend the virgin birth. No one can comprehend even the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's insignificant in comparison with the vastness and the immeasurable need around us. Insignificant. How can this one seed affect my future? How can this one word affect my life? How can this one life affect the rest of the others? This is an insignificant seed. But brothers and sisters, there are many contributions to this seed. Let me explain to you. This is my model. This is the soil, this is the ground. And this insignificant seed, the Bible tells me from the parable that it was sown onto the ground. The seed has been sown. And we wonder what should take place. What should we do? From the parable described to us that we have the soil, night and day the farmer will sleep, which means there will be dew, there will be water. And I believe there will be sunlight that will shine upon the ground. We have all these contributing factors to affect the growth. But would it mean anything with the sun and the water and the soil if the seed is dead? Growth requires not only the contributing factors, the sun, the water, the soil, but there is a need for us to know inside the seed there is a divine power of God, and around it there is the awesomeness of God's power that generates something into the seed. I pray that God will help us to understand this parable, because many of us are looking only for the contributing factors. We look only for what can contribute to grow. Oh, I need this person. Without this person, I can't grow. Oh, I need this program. I need to go for this program. If I don't have this program, I don't think I can grow. I need some spiritual counseling. If I don't have the spiritual counseling, I can't grow. But the Bible tells me if you have all the contributing factors, you have all the program, the conferences, but yet this seed is not having the power of God working inside, nothing is going to happen. Are you there with me? If you are passionate for the Lord, give a good one to Him. So what do I see here? I saw this seed planted inside. Can anybody see the seed now? We have been covered by this dirt all over us. And we are hiding inside the dirt. We don't even know what is outside. We can't even see the intention of the Creator. We can't even see the intention of the farmer. Because we are hiding inside the dirt. You know what's the parable about? I'll tell you what it is. It's not about how to grow. It's about who is growing you. Are you with me? It's about who is growing you. I want you to know it's not about how to grow. It's about who is growing you. Somebody say amen. I want to know who is this mighty God that I am serving. Somebody say amen. I need to know who is this great I am. I need to know who is this one who says he's the Son of Righteousness with healings in his wings. I want you to know that he is the majestic God. He is the creator. He is the one who shines. He is the cloud by day. He is the fire by night. Isn't he the Lord that you worship every day? Isn't he the one that you lift up your hand? Isn't he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Isn't he the Redeemer of your life? Isn't he the faithful one? Isn't he who bring about the builder of your heart? Brothers and sisters, I do not know about your situation, but you may be hiding underneath the dirt, but you need to know who is growing you. Who is growing you? Who is your deliverer? And as you and I begin to understand who is the one who grow your life, the moment you know who, then the next thing is this. Just as the sower of famine does not know how, but now he knows what he needs to do. The moment you know who, there's something that you need to do. You know about this sower? He just do every day and plowing and watering and weeding and you know what I mean? How many of you love gardens? You love do gardening. You know what I mean? You pull your weeds. You know, unlike me, I don't pull my weeds now. You can see how unkempt the garden will be. Am I right or not? And listen to me very carefully. This will be the kind of life that we do. We have to do everyday things. Am I right? The farmer has to do the everyday things. That's the same with you and I. We need to do our everyday thing. We need to learn and study the Word. We need to pray every day. We need to worship the Lord. If you want to see God begin to do the miraculous work in this life that is hidden underneath the dirt, you need to do the everyday thing. You need to keep plowing and searching and reading and studying the Word of God. And this is what the Bible says. We need to keep worshiping. We need to keep maturing. We need to keep seeking God and God's favor. You can't expect the growth comes immediately the moment you say, once in a while I will come to see Jesus, once in a while I will study his word, once in a while I will just listen to his word. The Bible tells me you do it every day. That's how the seed grow. If the farmer need to water the seed every day, we need to study every day. And that's exactly how people begin to grow. How do you define growth in this perspective? We may be inside the dirt. I want you to imagine with me. Are you okay with imagination? I know some of you have wild ones, but don't go too wild. Just be mild a bit. You hide yourself underneath the dirt. You are planted there. And it's hidden there. And you know something? Many of us thought that's the end of the seed. That's the end of your situation, your life. But at the same time, I realized when the parable tells me that the seed began to sprout and with the stalk, with the head and the full plant, I begin to realize this. There is God's purpose that is now brewing inside the dirt. Are you with me? I do not know what your problem may be, overwhelming, unprecedented situation or crisis that you may go through. But I want you to know today, no matter what is happening on the top of you, you are hiding in, you are now being placed in the dirt, and then you do not know what is going on. I want you to see that the purpose of God is now brewing. It's now beginning to take place. I saw that in Spurgeon's life, when I read about his story, his life story, You see, this man, many of us would read a lot about his books. Spurgeon is always known as the pastor to all pastors. But this is something that many of us are not aware, that he has been condemned. He has been abandoned. He has been accused. There are many times he felt helpless and hopeless. Yet every time when he sends a hell is coming against him, he began to pray and never seems to have any answer for peace. It was a long suffering. Long suffering. He was devastated with bitterness in his soul. He had spiritual sufferings that taught him to go through this foulness of the sin of others. He lived through this unremitting criticism and distrust and accusations. Yet he arose as the finest and the greatest preacher. In the midst of hiding and being planted in the dirt, can't even see what is outside beyond that dirt. But the purpose of God is brewing inside of him. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells me that the greatest growth begins not on the sowing, but when the dirt is doing its part. Are you with me? When the dirt is doing its part. This is what the dirt does. The dirt will play its role in fulfilling God's purpose. Many of us can sow, but not many of us will understand what it means to grow. You don't understand the fullness of his growth. Many of us are able to sow. They are eloquent. They are great teachers. They are great preachers. They can speak and articulate eloquently. But you see, it is the dirt that causes the anointing to grow inside that person's life. You see, you can't just show me that you are eloquent. The anointing on the eloquence is about the amount of dirt that has come upon you. Are you there with me? The amount of dirt that has caused you to grow under the anointing of God. You do not articulate words of great bombasticness, but yet the Lord shows me that these men that has been placed inside the dirt arose. The eloquence was about the anointing. They came out under the anointing of God, and they were able to speak. Paul wrote so many of those letters that are full of anointed words that impacted people's lives. Where does the letter come from? It came from prison. It came from prison. You see, a lot of our abilities can never be enriched with God's anointing if we have never gone through the dirt of life. If you have never gone through the dirt of, some of you, the younger generation will probably think, I've gone through a lot of tough times. I don't think so. My father has gone through World War II. He was chased by Japanese. If he's alive, he is right now 94. Told me the story of how he stood his guts. He stood up with his guts against a Japanese soldier. And I was thinking, man, that must be pretty stupid, isn't it? But he did that because he refused to bow to him. Anyone who passes by a Japanese soldier, you have to bow to them. But he refused to do so. Just like Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. So they chased him and he ran away. And then after that, he ran into the rice mill and hid himself there. If he were to be caught, he's gone. No more Kelvin as well. He has gone through those tough roads. We have gone through life that is not very simple. My older siblings and myself, we did not live in a very, very, you know, glorious, glamorous surroundings. We live in the village. We live with a village life. We live with hard life. We do everything ourselves. But today, a lot of youngsters, they pay to have those things. Those days, we work to have those things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Even some of you, you have a nice washing machine. You didn't even wash your clothes. And is it so sad that you throw your clothes onto the floor and you expect your wife, who is the maid, to pick it up for you? And so, but in our time, we have jagged wood to wash with. That was during my school days. We have to wash our clothes with the jagged wood. And without fail, we will wash every day. Some of you guys got washing machine. All you need to do is just throw in, put in the soap powder, and it does its work. Am I right? And yet, we never do it. And you know something? Listen, listen. This is the deepest revelation. If you don't do it, don't expect blessing. Don't expect. Seriously. You come back to your house, you just take out your shirt, and then you throw them onto the floor. And then you say, where is my shirt? How come it's not washed yet? Any wives who know what I'm talking about, it's okay. Don't say it loud, amen. But we all know. Are you getting there? Are you getting there? Are you getting there? Are you getting there? Am I telling you some truth here? Are you there? Come on, tell me you're passionate. That is the word of God for me. Come on. Amen? All right. But there's one thing we did not ask ourselves. Can the seed survive in this dirt? Some say yes, some say should. Can the seed survive? You see, we are often afraid and we become very anxious when we as a seed hiding inside the dirt, overwhelmed by the dirt, we are so afraid that we might not survive long. When the problem comes upon your life, you just do not know how to live on. But the Lord says that there is a divine power that is working inside of you. There is a divine power that is working inside of you. So when you are placed underneath the dirt, can you survive? Yes, you can. How is it so? Because if I do my everyday moral responsibilities, every day I will pray, every day I will seek God's face, every day I lift up my hands and I worship Him, every day I seek for God's favor, every day I mature, every day I search the Word for my life to walk in. If I do it every day, my dream that is inside the soil will not die. My dream that is now been placed and planted in the soil will never die. It is the marriage that some of us are so afraid when it's overwhelmed by the dirt. We do not know whether our marriage will survive. But the way we live, we don't recognize who our God is. We don't recognize the divine power that is working inside of us. Then we become so afraid, we walk away from that marriage. But the Lord says, if you do your moral responsibilities, God is going to work His divine power in the seed of your marriage, in the seed of your life. Something is going to come out of it. The power of God will manifest. Listen to this. Many of us who hear from friends and relatives that when their marriage or their lives is inside the dirt and they failed, you know why? Because they don't realize the dirt is connected to their destiny. Can I say that one more time? The dirt that you are placed in is connected to your destiny. Oh, somebody is saying amen and praise the Lord. What a revelation for me today. The dirt is connected to your destiny. Why people are not flourishing in their destiny? Because they refuse to be planted in the dirt. What was Jesus saying in this parable? In the book of Mark. It was never written in any other gospel. Then I began to read them and I discovered this. Just listen to this. Jesus' disciples were selected in the book of Mark in chapter 3, the chapter before chapter 4. And later on in chapter 3, you will discover that as they were going along that journey, they were trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Yes, we all know Jesus was rejected. Jesus was abandoned. He was tortured. He was crucified. They put all the dirt on him. They put all the dirt, and finally they finished the crucifixion. They buried him inside the dirt. They buried him in the tomb. They buried him, or they planted him. So this parable was written for this purpose. I may not understand, but only I could see one thing. The Bible tells me on the third day Jesus rose again. Somebody say amen. He rose again from the day that he was abandoned, he was rejected, he was buried, he was planted, and all of a sudden a miraculous work began to happen. On the third day there was the root that sprouted out, a stalk and the head, and the resurrection began to take place. That was why the Gospel of Mark brought this thing in. He wants you to know, no matter how rejected you are, no matter how much dirt you have come in, there is the resurrection power. Somebody say amen. There is a resurrection power. And so I begin to realize that this was written solely for this purpose. I do not know how, but the Bible says so. And I know who. Somebody say amen. I know who. I know who is the one who raised from the dead. I know who has caused him to arise on the third day. I know who. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are oftentimes being told, do all the natural things. That's not enough. That's not enough. I'm going to show you. Anthony, come. Come, Anthony. Don't be shy. He doesn't walk like that at home. You know why I choose Anthony? That's right. Something that resembles very closely, am I right? Something that resembles very closely. You know, Anthony, mom and dad will try to find any food available for you, right? Every time he wants to eat, he makes sure he has it. If he doesn't see it on the table, he will go to the fridge. If he doesn't get it from the fridge, he will probably get hold of the parents and say, I'm hungry, I'm dying, Lord, help me. And the father will go and buy some food. He doesn't want his son to die. And we always think the normal moral responsibilities and the natural thing is to buy the food and feed him, am I right or not? To make sure that he has clothes, he got pants, he got long hair like Samson. Like Samson, but doesn't. We all do the moral, natural responsibilities. Am I right or not? Parents, would you all do that? You make sure your children will not be hungry, am I right? You can see he's never hungry. He's very, very much being fed well, right? Just fantastic. He is. Yeah, see how much he is. But you see, to grow a child is not just about feeding him food. We need to give him all the necessary proper education. Am I right or not? You need to give him all the proper advices. We also need to inspire the child to live. We need to motivate this child to grow up. It's not just feeding him food, am I right? There are many other responsibilities. We need to, so those of you who are thinking of having babies, listen, it takes a long while to feed until to this size, by the way, all right? And you and I may not know exactly how much the parents have spent. No wonder they are so poor right now. But what about inspiring? What about motivating? Am I right? And besides that, to raise up a child, to inspire with good advisors, don't do this, don't do that. All right, do make sure you do your homework, make sure you study well. We do all these things, am I right or not? But there's something else still missing. It's the spiritual life. The child cannot grow up without the spiritual life. We give him all the moral responsibilities that he may grow up. But at the end of the day, it's not enough. You need to feed his spirit man. And that's exactly what sometimes we missed out. Thank you very much. Don't worry. Praise God. And so at the end of the day, we begin to see the seed that has been buried there. And we do all the natural things. That's all we know. We understand the principle. We know how to do it. But we do not know who is growing the lives. And I remember Paul says in his words, Paul in the book of Corinthians, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. Are you with me? Paul planted, Apollos watered, you do all the natural things. Ultimately, it is God who gives the growth. And if we do not live by what God designed it to be, we will miss the growth in the name of Jesus. Yes, I may not know how it happened, but it does make sense to me right now. Because it was shown to me that the resurrection power of Jesus was the primary purpose of the parable that was written in the book of Mark and not in anybody else's gospel. It was given to us to understand no matter how much dirt that has been poured on your life, no matter how difficult your situation is, no matter how much you have been buried inside, I want you to know when there is a resurrection power, something is happening to the seed. Something is working inside the seed. The Holy Spirit is stirring up the seed. The work of the Holy Spirit is stirring you up. I do not know what your dirt is. I do not know what rejection you may go through. I do not know what bad situation you go through, but there is a seed that is now been stirred up by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And when the Holy Spirit is stirring you up, you are going to rise up. You are going to rise up. You know why? The Bible says the Spirit that raised Jesus up is now living in you. It's living in you today. We need to know that. And I want to close with this story that is so popular as you read the Bible is about the life of Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. From having this prestigious, awesome dream, he was too quick to articulate his dream to the brothers. He was too quick to tell them what God had shown him. But because he was so quick, somehow the Bible tells me the brothers were jealous and they were planning and scheming to get rid of him. In fact, there was a thought to kill him. But then somehow he was thrown in the pit, and subsequently he was sold as a slave. And being a slave, he was brought to Egypt, and Potiphar was his owner. Bible tells me Joseph, we just continue to do his normal chores. He serves, he works, he did everything that was necessary. He even stood his moral ground. When Potiphar's wife was trying to lure him, he stood his ground. He did all the right things in his life. But there's something that is brewing inside. Something that is brewing inside. He was accused and then thrown into the prison cell. He was just being abandoned. But yet, when the dirt was covering him, something is brewing. The purpose of God is brewing. The purpose of God is just moving by the Spirit of the Lord. You and I can't see it. Because it's all hidden underneath the dirt. We do not know the Creator's intention. We don't even know what is God's intention. I do not know how, but something is brewing. I do not know how. But the moment the opportunity came, he arose. And the Bible tells me he became the person next to the king. Brothers and sisters, you may be hiding inside the dirt and you may not see any potential. You may not see any glorious future. But I want you to know when you submit to the Lord and do your moral responsibilities, something is brewing inside, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when He does it, He's going to cause a resurrection in you, and you're going to rise up above your circumstances. Oh, Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.